And notice the first sentence in the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 1. It's got nothing to do with the creation of the heaven and earth. Creation of the heaven and earth is a wonderful thing for scientific people to study that. But God is not interested in that. He makes millions of stars. What is one small little dot in the universe called the planet Earth? Nothing. But what God is interested in, you see in the very first verse of Job. And if you understand that, so many people, you really get to see God's heart. So many people in the world are arguing about, did the earth just come by itself? And was Genesis chapter 1 really true? Did God make the world in 6 days and all that? I tell you honestly, I don't waste my time arguing with such people at all, because to me that's not the first thing in the Bible. To me the first thing in the Bible is this. Job 1:1. There was a man, and his address is given, in the land of Uz. Because there may have been other people called Job on the earth, just like there could be other people with your name in the world. But he specifies this particular person who lives in, now today he would say, this particular street, this number house, in this place. That's you. He was a blameless, upright, fearing God and turning away. Notice it doesn't say he was perfect. Job was not perfect. Blameless means, according to his conscience, he was not convicted of anything. None of us are perfect, but we can be blameless. Blameless means, at this moment, to the best of my knowledge, I have nothing in my conscience convicting me of sin. My dear brothers and sisters, please remember, this is the first thing that God writes in his book. The very first thing that God writes in his book is, there's a blameless man, not a perfect man. And that challenges me. I say, Heavenly Father, today Job could not call him father, I can call him dad. You're looking for somebody blameless, not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm very aware I'm imperfect. But I can be blameless means anything my conscience has told me is wrong, I have immediately confessed it. If I've hurt somebody, I've asked forgiveness as soon as possible. That's blameless. If you have not asked forgiveness from people you have hurt, I want to tell you in Jesus' name, you are not blameless today. You can sit in CFC or any other church for the rest of your life. You are not a blameless person. You are disobedient to the very first thing that God has said he wants from man. Blameless, not perfect. Some people teach, some people say, that CFC teaches that we are be perfect. I say, look at the pulpit. Does it say we are perfect? I said, no, it says there, let us press on to perfection. That is the clearest testimony. We are not perfect. But we are not pressing on to be blameless. We are blameless right now. I can say that. And I believe there are some brothers and sisters here at least who can say that, because as soon as their conscience convicts them about something, even if it's a thought, I had a bad thought about somebody or something. Lord, forgive me. Or I spoke rudely to someone. I asked that person to forgive me and I asked God to forgive me. Or your mind is frequently on money. If you don't have money, your mind being between money is perfectly okay. But when you have plenty of money, more than enough, and plenty of savings, when still your mind is on money, something is wrong. So, blameless means, to the best of my understanding, according to my conscience, and that grows. It's like a child goes from kindergarten, first standard, second standard, third standard. In the same way, our understanding of what is conscience, what our conscience convicts us of, must grow. I know a lot more today about sin than I knew when I was converted 64 years ago. I know a lot more about sin today than I knew 1 year ago. Are you surprised at that? I mean, would you, if a child told you, last year I was in sixth standard, now I'm in seventh standard, are you surprised? That's the way it should be. So shouldn't it be like that with you and me, that this year I know a little more about what sin is and what corruption there is in my flesh than I knew last year? That is the mark of spiritual growth. And I want to ask all of you this question. And if you have not gone along this path, this is the new and living way. It's new because I'm always discovering something new about my corruption in my heart that I can cleanse myself from. It's not a dead way, it's a living way, because when I put that part to death, the life of Jesus comes into that part. Any part of my flesh that I put to death, the life of Jesus comes in there immediately. It's like God's reward. You put that to death? Okay. I give you the life of Jesus in that place. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 4. Always bearing in our body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifest in us. 2 Corinthians 4:10. That is how we remain blameless. So it's not saying I was blameless 5 years ago. That's like a child saying, 5 years ago when I was in kindergarten, I got 100 out of 100. But you may be getting 0 out of 100 today. Because now you're in fourth standard. So, blameless progresses according to our conscience should be progressing. If you're not being convicted of more things today than you were 5 years ago, you're not growing. If you're not being convicted about more things today than you were last year, you're not growing. I would tell a student that. If you have not learned more things this year in your school than you learned last year, it's a useless school. Get out of that school and join another one. The same way your child goes from class to class, you must go from blameless, blameless, blameless. So that's the first thing mentioned in Scripture. Remember this all your life. Because I don't think you'll hear this in any other church. They always tell you the heaven and the earth created is the most important thing. I say no. How many churches have you heard it preached that the book of Job is the first book? Is there any YouTube video where that is preached? Maybe somebody preaches it today after having heard me on YouTube. Why is it people haven't discovered it? Why is it people are taken up with the creation of heaven and earth and not the first verse of Job? A blameless and an upright man. Okay, upright. What does upright mean? It's like see that pillar, for example, is upright. You can't bend it. I want to be like that pillar in the house of God. Not like a stick that can be bent. Upright. Dear brother, sister, blameless, that's between you and God. Upright in your dealings, in your financial dealings, no crookedness, no cheating, upright. And every dealing of yours, upright. You won't become the richest man on earth if you go that way. But you'll gradually become the most honest man on earth. The most pleasing to God. See, out of the whole world, God picked out one man. The Bible says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Let's turn to that verse for a moment. 2 Chronicles. All you children, do you know where Chronicles is? 2 Chronicles. And it's chapter 16, I think. My memory serves me right. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth. That means God is looking around the whole earth to strongly support those whose hearts are completely His. Not those who have become like Jesus Christ. There's nobody who has become like Jesus Christ. But I say, Lord, in my heart there is no room for anyone other than you. You say, what about your wife? I love my wife through Jesus Christ. I told her before I got married, you'll always be second in my life. Always. Christ will be first. And I also told her, I want to be second in your life. I never want to be first in your life. I want to be Christ to be first in your life. Do you want a marriage like that? Is that what you tell someone when you are considering marriage? I want to be second in your life. I want to be Christ to be first in your life. And you will always be second in my life. Christ will be first. In other words, if the Lord tells me to do something and my wife tells me to do something else, I'll tell my wife, I'm sorry, darling, I can't do that. I'd rather hurt my wife than hurt the Lord. Are you a husband like that? Are you a wife like that? I'd rather hurt my husband than hurt the Lord. You'll have a very happy, blessed marriage because God honors those who honor Him, those whose hearts are completely His. What does God do? He strongly supports. And I have to tell you my testimony after nearly 65 years of being a believer. The Lord has strongly supported me whenever my heart has been completely His.